And now you should be hearing. Is that, do you hear me now? Okay. So we'll dedicate the Shir Bezras Hashem to Le'ilui Nishmas Chana Zelda Bas Rabbi Yitzchok.
Bas Rabbi Yitzchok.
Bas Rabbi Yitzchok. Le'ilui Nishama Bezras Hashem. Okay. So when Shah Avodas, when Chivas Havavis, Shah Avodas Elikim, Perek Tes,
334 in the English edition.
Oh, the English edition, page 334. Yashukoyach. We're going to go through the Chavis HaVavis. He's been building up for us just to understand our existence in this world. So let's recap and then move on to how he just brings it all together. He started with the understanding that we are not bodies. You look in the mirror, you're not seeing who you are. You are a neshama. The neshama is the highest of spiritual beings. And it's the only neshama, the only spiritual being that, it's the only being that has a combination of spirituality and physicality to it. Meaning, a malach is either a malach and an earthling is either a malach is a malach and an earthling is an earthling. This greatest being of all, the greatest creation of all, the neshama, was given physicality for the purpose of doing this very, very unique role of going into this world, entering a body, and the way he put it was to be able to connect to Hashem to three primary goals in this world. You put into a body and then you're given the challenge of, the way we put it is perfection of mind, through your body to be able to reach that clear awareness of Hashem. And this is a lifetime career to constantly be developing and deepening that awareness. Perfection of character. Once you put into a body, the body has all kinds of different traits, urges, instincts. And you have to allow your neshama to shine through it, to gain control of all of that, of all the different natural urges, and to harness them all into the system of Avodas Hashem. And to be what we call Bechira B'toiv, which we were referring to as what we call the Bechira mentality. To always be living life with an awareness of, okay, what opportunities am I being given now? What is any given moment, what are the spiritual opportunities that any given moment provides me with? Okay, so now, in order to achieve this, he said the way he put it was, again, I'm paraphrasing it the way we've been paraphrasing it. He gave you an office called a body. When you look into the mirror, what you're seeing is an office. The neshama is put into this office, and that office really serves a double purpose. First of all, the whole challenge is that the neshama's clarity, the neshama's clear vision, the neshama's perfection is dimmed, is hampered. That's one very, very important function that the body provides. It provides you with the ability to prove your loyalty. When the neshama is in its true state, there's nothing to it. But the body does one service to you, and that is that it makes things less clear. It puts all kinds of other urges in place, and now you have the chance to go ahead and do that mission. That was number one. But number two, he said the body is your office. It provides you with all the equipment you need to do that job. Hashem sent you on a mission, a relatively short mission. Bezos Hashem, 150 years for all of us. But it's relatively short when we're talking about the big picture. And the body gives you all the equipment to do that role. He spent some time telling you about all the equipment that's there. And these included all of your physical aspects, your hands, your feet, your teeth, your eyes, your systems, and also all of your various character traits, right? This is what we were discussing, from your intelligence to, just to run through them again without elaborating as we did last time, but just to run through them again, the various midas, optimism, fear, happiness, sadness, forgetfulness, remembering, using your mind when you turn off your mind, bravery versus cowardice, generosity versus stinginess, bashfulness versus brazenness, hate, love, haughtiness, lowliness, all these things are tools, tools that can be used when they're operated right. All these things are also tools that can be used in this mission. Okay. So now we move on to the Chavis of Avos' continuation, how he brings this all together. This is what we're up to. Vabayre Yisbarach. Okay, you see that there? Vabayre Yisbarach. Again, if you're without a sefer, you'll be okay, but if we said in the English, it's page 334. Vabayre Yisbarach, Hashem, Tziva. He commanded all these scores of soldiers and forces that he put at your disposal. All these different soldiers and servants, etc., that he put at your disposal, right? He put millions of cells at your service. He put all kinds of faculties at your service. He put all kinds of limbs at your service. All these things are there to serve you, and Hashem commanded them all. All these different forces have one command. You now are under the command of this person. This neshama of mine, this person, right, as we discussed, he tells millions of white blood cells, be ready to give up your lives in defense of this person against germs. And he even tells your hands, right now, this person is boss. No matter what he tells you to do, you do it. The shmoyalach, they're all expected to obey you. Lamoy lemitzvaseich, to stand at your beck and call, until a certain time. But b'inyanim yuchadim ba'adam lahem beis hischabrus ha'melechem. Now, however, he placed certain limits on what they'll be able to do and what they won't be able to do. Meaning like this. Hashem gave you a lot of abilities and he gave you a lot of tools within which to carry them out. But you should also know that there are things that Hashem in the first place set up where your abilities are going to be limited. Or you might try to do things that are not going to be accomplished because Hashem has a plan for you. Hashem has a plan up until a certain, just like Hashem gave you, just like Hashem gave you all kinds of limbs and faculties, etc., that are going to be serving you. Part of the story of your life is the plan that Hashem has laid out for you. And there's going to be a combination of you operating with your Bechira and then Hashem guiding your life exactly along the lines he wants to guide it. So Hashem, for example, you might order your intelligence to get to work, just to use a very broad example, to get to work trying to earn you a living. You put your mind to it and it'll be successful until a certain point where all of a sudden it'll seem like there's a wall in front of you. And now it's just not working because here you hit a stage in life where Hashem is guiding it in a certain direction, again, because of his plan for you. So let's stress this. In general, we all have the same limbs. We all have the same faculties. But nevertheless, Hashem does not have two of the same mission for anybody. Every person has their own mission in life. And that mission is defined by two things. That mission is defined, A, by your very unique combination of midas, right? Even though, again, we all share in general, we share limbs, we share midas, etc. But all of us has their very unique personality, their very unique combination of strengths and weaknesses. Their very unique combination of more active midas versus less active midas. And all these are there to define the specific mission that Hashem has set out for you, the challenges that Hashem has set out for you. But besides that, besides your unique combination of midas, there's your unique game plan in life that Hashem has laid out for you in a very, very clear way, what you're going to encounter in life. You have to realize that things that may come later in life, let's say something, some situation that a person goes through at the age of 50, and it seems like this is something that developed, but really no, it's mamish as inherent a part of you as your fingers. This is all a part of the Bria that Hashem made that's called you, with all of its different components, and you're supposed to work within that to accomplish your mission. Just to give one example of this, this is a story from the Gemara that Shimshon Pinkas says it's one of his favorite stories from the Gemara. But there was one of the very great Amoraim was Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas. Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas was a very, very poor man. And one time he had to let blood. This was a medical procedure that they did in those days. He had to let blood. Now, the way it worked was that after letting blood, you had to eat a good hearty meal. You had to eat a good hearty meal after letting blood. You'd be weak, have to eat a good hearty meal. He came home. He was so poor. The only thing that he had in his house to eat was the spine of a clove of garlic, of a head of garlic. You know, like you have the cloves. In the middle, there's like this plasticky stick. That was what he had to eat. That was the hearty meal that he had after letting blood when he was so weak. So what happened? He passed out. He passed out. And his Talmidim who came trying to revive him, whatever it was, they saw some strange things going on. They saw him laughing. They saw him crying. And then they saw sparks shooting off his face. And when he was revived, they asked him what was going on. When he was unconscious, he was laughing, crying, there were sparks shooting off his face. So he said, I actually had a certain interaction with Hashem. He passed out. And I said to Hashem, I don't know exactly what happened there. He had some sort of vision. I said to Hashem, how long am I going to have to continue suffering like this? So Hashem said to him, you know what? What I might be able to do is reset the world. I'll create the world anew from Bereshis, and perhaps it'll come out differently. Should I do it or should I not? So Hashem said to him. So Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas said, am I already past the halfway point in my life? And Hashem said, you are. So Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas said, if so, okay. He said, kol ha'ai ve'ulai, meaning you're going to go through all that, you're going to create the world anew from Bereshis, and then maybe it'll come out different. I'll stick with it. So Hashem said, stick with it. Okay. He told him, you're going to have, I didn't look up the Gemara now, but so you're gonna, when you come to Olam Haba and the Schar that you accepted this and you're willing to operate with this role, you're going to have 13 Naharis Afalsamine, Afalsamine oil was apparently some very luxurious oil. He said, you're going to have 13 of them. So Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas said, why only 13? So apparently this is the type of thing, if you had a little bottle of it, it was something very, very expensive. You have 13 rivers. They said, why only 13? So Hashem said, 13 rivers of Afalsamine oil is not enough. So Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas said, am I asking it of someone who's lacking? They said that Hashem kind of did no to him. He said he like struck him like kind of like in a lovingly scolding way with a pulse of the nur. So those are the sparks shooting off his face. And Hashem kind of like did like that to him, so to speak. So Reb Shimshon Pinkas loved this story. So just it shows the level that a person can get of affection and intimacy with Hashem. Whatever the case is, Rav Dessler uses this story to illustrate how there are sometimes people will go through, Rachman al-Tzlan, let's say, a bad turn in their financial situation. And sometimes it'll be a question of Cheshbon HaNefesh, did I do something that made me deserve this? So Rav Dessler talks about how sometimes it's that, but sometimes a person goes through things in life because that is an inherent part of his Bria. And not only that, but your life story is an inherent part of Hashem's whole world scheme. And if, in the case of Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas, his poverty, not only was it an inherent part of his neshama, but it was an inherent part of the world plan. That's why Hashem is saying, kiviyachol, that if you want this to change, I'm going to have to go and reset the world from the beginning, kiviyachol, so to speak. And here Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas said, no, im kena mekabel. I mean, there could be things that can be changed through tefillah, that can be changed through tshuva. And then there are sometimes things that we have to accept as This is your neshama's purpose. This is your neshama's tafkid. This is where your claim to fame for all of eternity lies, for being able to relate to these circumstances in the way that Hashem set you up. So, what's that? We don't necessarily know, but the way to respond in a general way is always the same. Meaning, acceptance is already rule number one for dealing with it successfully. Acceptance doesn't mean that you don't try to, but let's take that example of poverty, right? So do you say, okay, this was Hashem's plan for me, so I'm not gonna try to make money, I'm not gonna try to, no. You're expected to try, but you do it as that understanding. Hashem expects me to try, and my life's role is going to play out through that trying. Meaning it might be that I'm going to be expected to try and fail and try and fail and continue to trust that this is the best thing for me, even though I'm still continuing to try and fail. And I have to say, well, I tried so much and it's not working anyways, I'm just going to throw in the towel. So the way of working through it in a general way will always be the same. A person should always make an accounting of, are there things that I should be improving? Perhaps it's as a result of that. And you gain by doing that, whatever the case is. If it was a result of things that you did wrong, you'll gain by doing that. And if it wasn't the result of doing things wrong, you'll gain by doing that. So in a general way, it's true. This is just an important principle in general for relating to things that Hashem sends upon us. In general, the precise reason doesn't really matter, because the response, if we know how to respond to it right, if we know how to react right, we will gain what we need to gain, regardless of exactly what Hashem's reason was. And for how to respond and how to operate in these situations, the rules are always the same. The rules are always the same. We've been talking about that throughout the whole Corona year, right? That the idea is to be able to embrace what Hashem sends my way, to view it as, yes, I'm going to be working to better my situation, but at the same time, understanding that if Hashem sent this my way, this is what's best for me. And to whatever extent I'm going to be going through this, I'm going through this with an understanding that going through it with acceptance, embracing it as the Ratzon Hashem, is bringing me closer to Him and is perfecting my neshama. So here, we come back to what the Chovos HaLevavos here is saying. Chovos HaLevavos here is saying that He gave you all kinds of equipment. He put all kinds of equipment at your disposal and enables you to do an awful lot with it. But you have to realize that there will be limitations. All that equipment won't be able to get you everywhere, right? Intelligence doesn't always equal success in material affairs. So you have to be ready. Those limitations are also part of your game plan, to be able to operate with those limitations also, according to Ratzon Hashem. Okay, now. Then Hashem permitted you to use all these this different equipment that He put at your disposal. You can use all these things to maintain your body, to maintain your physical existence. Meaning, Hashem gave you teeth and a tongue. He wants you to eat with it. He told you, use all those faculties to take care of yourself physically. Use all those faculties to eat. Use those faculties to dress. Use those faculties to earn a living. Use those faculties to have a home. Use those faculties to raise a family. But al panim yiduim, but He gave guidelines as to how to do that. And this is all a part of His plan. First of all, He told you, I'm going to have specific things that I'm going to order you to do with those limbs and with those abilities. I want you to use your intelligence, let's say, to make a serious effort to know my Torah. I want you to use your intelligence to make a serious effort to know me. I want you to use your intelligence to make a serious effort to make a living, to make a serious effort to raise a family, etc. I want you to do all that. And also, even in terms of making a living, eating, etc., and here we're kind of recapping things that we've seen earlier throughout the Sefer and later. I'm going to put limitations on those also. Meaning, yes, I want you to use your teeth and your tongue for eating, But basically, in everything that I want you to do to take care of yourself physically, I'm going to put limits and restrictions, because all that is part of your role. It's part of the challenges I'm providing for you. I gave you a need to eat. I gave you a desire to eat. I gave you the limbs to be able to do that. And I'm also giving limitations. And I want to see you go about filling that need and accommodating that desire, but within the limits that I imposed. Okay. The Omaloch. And then he says to you, Kol asher samtiv biyodech vishlatetich lishtamish boi boilam hazeh, everything that I put into your hands and I gave you control over in this world, al yashiech, do not let that lure you. Ki lo yosif lach ba'atzmech me'uma. I gave you the means of achieving all kinds of things. Right? I gave you the means of, like we said, getting money, getting food, getting a home, etc. Remember that all these things are not really benefiting the essential you, right? Don't reach a situation where caring for your body becomes your main agenda. Because remember who you really are. Remember that you're your neshama. And if you're going to invest all your efforts in maintaining the office, you might not be benefiting the real business, right? Let's remember that. And your business is your neshama. And the office, the body, is there to help you succeed in getting the neshama to where it needs to get. If you have a person who has a very, very important role, let's say you have a person who is, an ambassador to a foreign country. Okay? So he is there to create treaties between his country, his home country, and the country that he's visiting in. He's there to achieve all kinds of diplomatic achievements there, right? But you know what? His country, his king, also sets him up, like we said, with a very luxurious office and with a car and with a very, very comfortable living quarters. If he's going to say, oh, wow, this is a great office and this is a great house that they gave me here and this is a great car, and he's going to put all his efforts in his career as an ambassador. He's going to put all his efforts into making sure that he is, his car is well taken care of and his office is well maintained. He's going to be a failure as an ambassador. So don't get carried away by, whoa, look at all this cool equipment, right? Taste buds are a very cool piece of technology and they can be very exciting. But don't think that, wow, it's all about the taste buds. Let's see, I have 100 years ahead of me now to apply things to my taste buds. And that becomes the goal of life, right? Or in all kinds of other areas. Remember that all that is there in order to enable you to do your real job. And remember that as much as you are there, you're meant to take care of yourself physically. And that's what those faculties are there for. Remember to keep that perspective, that this is all in order to facilitate your neshama's job. And don't think that caring for yourself materially is really going to better your ultimate state. You have to think of, what's all this going to do for me 1,000 years down the line, not just 2 years down the line. So, all these physical activities that I'm busying you with are not really going to benefit the essential you, nor is it going to, it's not going to benefit or hurt you one way or the other. Ultimately, all these things, the efforts that you're going to be investing in maintaining the office are not really what's going to bring you ultimate pleasure or distress. Again, all the things that are relevant for your body are things that are very transitory. I mean, we'll see the mashal he gives for this in a minute. Realize that this is not really your real concerns. He says, think of your body like its relationship to you is like the relationship of an eggshell to a chick. The eggshell is very important to the existence of the chick. And to whatever extent the chick, it's the mice, the chick isn't busy taking care of the eggshell. But theoretically, if it was up to the chick to take care of the eggshell, the chick has to remember that taking care of itself, its own body, is much more important than the eggshell. Don't get carried away with the eggshell. The eggshell is going to be here for another couple of weeks, then you're going to break out of it, and then you're really going to start to live. Or kishilim and avlad, it's like the placenta that is nourishing the baby, right? So the baby starts, is figuring, I have to make a 10-year investments in the placenta. Making 10-year investments in the placenta, soon it's going to be in the garbage, right? So you be more worried about what you're going to need for once you leave the womb. Ve'im tavini v'taskili kavanosi boch. And if you, when you're in that body, you're able to really appreciate your true goal, v'tevasi olayich, and you'll also appreciate all the good that I'm doing for you, the good that is both inherent in the goal itself, meaning why did I give you this goal? Why did I give you this mission? I gave you this mission because of my desire to benefit you. And I'm making you the greatest recipient of my good by giving you this mission. If you'll appreciate that, and besides that, let's note also that in the mission, I'm giving you all kinds of enjoyable things. I didn't make it that you have to go through a horrible existence for those 150 years in order to earn my favor in the next world. I'm putting you through an existence that has a lot of enjoyable times. So you're able to enjoy the mission itself. You're able to enjoy life on the job also, right? So appreciate all that. And if you can do that, if you can appreciate it, you can keep focused on the goal and you can appreciate my goodness and all that. V'tivchari ba'avidosi, and you taka choose my service. V'tirchaki meham loisi, and you keep away from defying me. In controlling everything that I put at your disposal in this world, I will bring you up to the highest of levels of those closest to me, of my select circle. This is ultimately what Hashem is looking at each of us. With that goal in mind, I want to see you among my closest and most intimate circle. That's why I put you through all this. I'll bring you close to my true compassion. And you will be bathed, you'll be dressed in my glorious light. This is where I ultimately want to see you. I want to see you back with me in that state as my closest circle. But if you choose to defy me, if you choose, no, forget about it. I like the office better than the job itself, and use the office even to go against the boss. You have to realize that I will give you a very great and lasting punishment. So this is important to remember, right? We don't want to make our Avodas Hashem characterized by Gehenim, right? We don't want to make our Avodas Hashem characterized by Gehenim, by fear of Gehenim, right? Every step of life wondering, am I going to get banged over the head for this? Our relationship with Hashem is meant to be characterized by love, by appreciation, by closeness, but an important ingredient of that is the realization that you don't have two choices about it. It's not like you could say, Hashem, I really appreciate it, but you know what? No, thank you. I'm going to take a different route. You have to realize that Hashem put you into this very great role, but his expectations are very, very real and serious. And in the back of your mind, it is important to know that there's no two ways about it, and that those who choose to defy Hashem, the punishment will be there.
Well, choosing to defy is a pretty hefty thing.
So I shouldn't use those words. It's true. Yeah, I should use...
Because you could just... Well, might not do, you know, but that's right. Choosing to defy.
Right. That was the wrong term.
Me, but that's what it says in here too. Are you really only going to be punished if you dafka rebel or if you just don't follow the program?
Oh, okay. So good question is being asked here. He's using the term hamroisi, to rebel against me. And I've been translating that as defy, which implies that if a person decides he's out there to spite Hashem, what about a person who just takes a lackadaisical approach, says, I'm just not interested in the whole system, I want to take it easy and enjoy life, and that's all. So let's enter that question on two levels. On both levels, the answer is that ultimately, yes, that is a form of rebellion. And the Chovas HaLevavos is including that in what he's saying, but he's putting it to stark terms. But on the contrary, let's approach this from two angles. First, let's take a softer approach and say, you know what, we won't call that defying. We won't call that defying. But this is a point that Rabbi Avigdor Miller used to hammer home all the time. He would say that there's an even bigger tragedy than punishment. There's an even bigger tragedy than Gehenna. What is the bigger tragedy than Gehenna? The bigger tragedy than Gehenna is losing the glorious opportunity that Hashem gave you. To put it in other terms, there are averis, things that are not supposed to happen. Let's use something that none of us are really going to be tempted with, but just for the sake of illustrating it, and then we can all apply it to the struggles of our own lives. Have a person who's walking by outside the store, the restaurant, and he smells the tantalizing smell of the sizzling bacon. And he's tempted. And he succumbs. So first of all, Hashem tells you don't eat bacon. Now, if Hashem didn't want you eating bacon, there was really an easy way out. Hashem could have not created pigs. It's not that Hashem didn't want pigs eaten. It's that Hashem wanted you to take up the challenge of not eating the pig, right? Now, for most of us, that's not a challenge for us. But there are other challenges. Again, I'm using this for illustrative purposes. And by the way, I'll also note that the very fact that it's not a challenge for you is a certain greatness that you have to appreciate. You should every so often take a look at all the things that are not necessary for you and say, I appreciate the fact that I'm on such a high level, because that is actually reflective of being in a close place to Hashem. But whatever the case is, we come back and we say, okay, Hashem tells you don't eat that pig. It's not just that Hashem doesn't want the pig being eaten. Hashem says, it's exactly what I want. I want you to be tantalized the smell, but I want you tantalized by the smell, but I want you to take up that struggle for me. It's not just that I don't want the pig eaten. I want you to dedicate that internal energy to me. Sometimes withstanding a test, right? It's passive, but there's a lot more inner energy going on than doing a mitzvah, right? Let's talk about something a little more relevant. Hashem tells you, eat matzah on Lil Pesach. Okay, did any of us ever feel you sit down at the Seder, it's time to eat the matzah, and you feel like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. But you know what? I'm going to overcome, and I'm going to eat that matzah. By the time we get to the Haggadah, we're ready for the matzah. I don't know about Kairich. That already might be an Isayin, the Afikayman. But Lamaisa, right, comes to picking up a lulav. Every person who's struggling is saying, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to overcome and I'm going to do it. Okay? So here's a positive mitzvah. You pick it up, you invest the energy, you ate the matzah, you did the lulav, you did something positive. Then, okay, there's a situation where somebody really provoked you. Someone really provoked you, and you want to let them have it. Hashem says, don't. So now, what's Hashem telling you? Hashem is telling you more than, I don't want this to happen. Hashem is telling you to sit passive, right? I don't want this to happen. But it's more than that. Hashem is telling you, I want you to put in that inner energy to overcome the urge to lash out at the person. There's a lot of energy going on in there. There's a lot of activity going on, just while it's internal, right? Hashem is telling you it's internal. If you, at the end of the day, did not lash out at the person, it's not just that you avoided the pitfall. You've achieved something amazing. You have taken up a struggle for Hashem and you came out victorious. And you're coming out of the ring as a winner. You did something. This is a point that the Gemara makes. It's not just that Baruch Hashem, it didn't happen. You've done something great. You came out as a winner, right? And the inner energy can often be a lot more than the outer energy that's involved in doing a positive mitzvah, right? So Hashem is saying, you have to appreciate that when I told you not to do this, not to do this, not to do this, it's not that I don't want those things happening. It's that I want those triumphs. I want those victories. Realize that those are very, very, very great opportunities for you. The opportunity for you to shine in that inner victory. Is that clear what I'm saying? If this isn't clear, please let me know because this is very, very important.
So, but every person has a point of view here.
Right.
Like, if you take this literally, like, you will just feel like a failure all day because there'll be a lot of things that maybe are way above something that you could achieve right now. Like, you got to work at where you are, right? You can't expect
right.
to do everything 100% or you're called a rebellion and I'm going to punish you.
Okay, exactly. Okay. Wait. So let me finish developing the point. You're right. That's right. But wait, so first of all, the point I want to make is, the point where I'm going here is that, let's say a person did succumb, okay? Ate the bacon. So, or lashed out at the other person. Now, here's the difference between the two, because when it comes to lashing out, we are talking about areas where we'll be struggling with our nekudas habchira. Fine, Hashem lets you take it at your pace. But the point that I want to make is like this. Let's go back to the bacon, because it's an easier example to talk about. If the person succumbed and ate the bacon, two things happened here. First of all, he didn't have Avera. That's number one. And that's bad. And there will be a punishment for that. But Avigdor Miller said, you have to realize that that actually is the lesser tragedy. The greater tragedy is the fact that you lost that opportunity to come out as a shining victor. And that is the sadder piece here. So let's say the person is not going to be defiant. He's just going to take the easy route, right? Not a bad guy. Just have an easy life and enjoy life and that's all. So you know what? You might not have been defiant. And let's set the punishment aside. But what a shame when a person afterwards will come and see what he missed out on. That might hurt more than the punishment. So that's point number one to realize. But point number two to realize is that actually we should, again, we're talking hardcore here. Afterwards, we'll qualify it by saying that there's no question that Hashem expects each of us to take it at his pace. And Hashem deliberately gave each of us our level of nekudas habchira, like you said. And Hashem is expecting each of us to work according to our level. But there's a pasuk that says, Gam ish misrape bimlachtoi chaver hu li'ish mashchis. I'll give an example. You have a malicious... Let me translate the pasuk. A person who is negligent in his job is a colleague of a malicious, destructive person. Meaning as follows. You have a malicious murderer, okay? His neighbor's eyebrows really irritate him. But he's a big balmidus. For a year, he tolerates it, okay? But how much can a person be expected to tolerate already? This guy's eyebrows are pushing, you know, it's just not reasonable. So he takes out his shotgun and from his second story, he aims carefully, he plans it well, and he shoots the guy, and the guy's there. That's a pretty bad guy, right? I have another guy. This is an example that Avigdor Miller gave. I have another guy. Chas v'shalom. He likes everybody on the block. He owns an ox. The oxen are dangerous. Okay. Now, he has a shed for the ox. He has a lock for the shed. But you know what? He doesn't always remember to lock it. He's a very good-natured guy, right? And one time he forgets to lock the door and the ox gets out and it goes and it eats up somebody else's vegetable patch. And the guy's like, oh, really sorry. I didn't mean it. You know, and, you know, with a smile and a wink and he kind of smooths it over. Okay, it's hard to look at that guy as a malicious guy. He's just a little careless. And then, Rachman al-Itzlan, the next time it's not a vegetable patch. He tries, sometimes he locks it, sometimes he doesn't, this, that. And then the next time it's not a vegetable patch, Rachman al-Itzlan, the ox actually kills somebody. I said, well, okay, this guy's just like a little bit careless. This person is a criminal. This person is a criminal. And he is to be viewed, gam ish misrapa ben lachta, a person who's negligent about his responsibilities, chaver hu ish mashchis. He is a colleague of a malicious, destructive person. Meaning it's another form of evil which has a much more good-natured appearance to it. So here, and this may sound a little harsh, and we wouldn't say this to everybody, but we will say this to conscientious Levde Hashem. We have to realize when a person is given a neshama and a person is given a role and Hashem is placing great hopes on that person, the person decides, whatever. That is a form of evil. A form of evil. And as conscientious Levde Hashem, we do have to appreciate that. We have to appreciate that our life, the least we can do for Hashem is to live a life of dedicated efforts. If we're living a life of dedicated efforts, then we will have inevitable failures and they're forgivable. They're forgivable. After the tshuva for them. We don't ever have the right to say something is fine, right? You have to do tshuva for them, but that's how the system is set up. But if a person takes the liberty to say, like we said before, Hashem, thanks, but no thanks, we have to realize that that actually is a form of defiance, even if it's coming in a good-natured, lackadaisical kind of way. Having said that, again, Hashem created each person in their circumstances. Hashem judges each person according to their very individual circumstances. Hashem expects each person to operate at his level. And he knows to judge each person correctly. But we do have to have that attitude that actually deciding to neglect our job, deciding to neglect the responsibility that Hashem gave us by giving us a neshama, and deciding not to grant Hashem kiviyachol the nachas of being able to give us everything he wants to give us, is another form of evil that simply looks a little different. I want to just stress that point that we just made. The Ramchal deals with a certain conundrum that he makes it very clear at the beginning of his sefer that your whole focus and everything you're doing in this world is Olam Haba, should be Olam Haba. How do I get to Olam Haba, which is the greatest of all bliss, etc., right? But then there's also a Madrega. Why should he say that? It kind of looks like he's saying that that is what the entire life should be focused on that. But shouldn't you be aiming to get to a higher level where you're just doing things to please Hashem? Like Chazal talk about doing things just to please Hashem without thinking about the reward. So you know, the Ramchal says something amazing. The Ramchal says that he kind of brings the two together and says, realize that what Hashem wants most, kiviyachol, what Hashem really wants out of this whole system is the opportunity to give you all that bliss, to give you all that ecstasy. If you rise above the level of just being focused on yourself, then kiviyachol, realize that Hashem wants you to give him the opportunity to give you all that pleasure. So have that in mind. I want Hashem to be able to give me kiviyachol everything he wants to give me. Right? I just saw that Reb Chaim Friedlander says, when you reward kids for good behavior, it gets very tricky. Because often that causes them to just perform for the prize, right? And not for the and not for the value of the thing itself. It's a big discussion. What Reb Chaim Friedlander says is that when you give the kid the prize, you tell the kid, I'm so happy to be able to give this to you. And you're conveying to the kid that what's actually achieved here was something higher than the prize. And he feels good about how good you feel about giving him the prize. You're connecting him to something higher, right? So this is something to think about. Hashem put us here because he wants kiviyachol to be able to give us everything he has in mind for us. Let's kiviyachol give him that nachas. Okay, we'll end here for this week. Bruchim to you. Bruchim to you. I don't want to end.